Tom Karkel and the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be a mixture of clouds and sun. We will have a high near 45 degrees. Temperature-wise, Kenosha right now is at 24, 25 in Burlington, Milwaukee 26. It is also 26 degrees in Racine. The Oneida County Sheriff's Department says a man from Kenosha was killed over the weekend in a snowmobile crash along a trail in St. Germain. 62-year-old Jeffrey Schultz operating that machine when it hit a utility pole along a trail. A 43-year-old man from St. Germain was a passenger on the machine. He's hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. DNR is investigating the circumstances on what was the 15th snowmobiling fatality this winter season. Fire Sunday afternoon in Racine caused an estimated $30,000 worth of damage to a two-family residence at 1717 Winslow Street, leaving it uninhabitable. A couch on the second floor somehow caught fire. That led to a significant amount of smoke and heat damage to that entire floor. Responding city crews had the flames out fairly quickly upon arrival, but needed also a significant amount of water to do so, and that caused damage all the way down to the first floor. The Red Cross brought in to offer help to those displaced residents. Well, call it Neighborhood Watch Plus or 2.0 or whatever, but the traditional program of neighbors watching out for each other in their little segment of the community has expanded over the past few years. Racine Police Chief Art Howell talking about it with a group of seniors recently. Members of Adventures in Lifelong Learning getting a lesson about internet crime and what's called Nixl.com.
Nixl is a unique initiative, and when we were talking about internet fraud and scams, where, like, if you're in an internet cafe in Nigeria, they'll bounce their signals off of different servers, so they'd be physically impossible for us to figure out which internet cafe your fake email came from, because they use ghost servers and they do all this other kind of fancy stuff where they mirror a site that they're really not at.
Chief Howell and Deputy Chief Mark Schultz talking to the group about unsecure websites that pose a threat of crime. Nixl, he said, just the opposite. The chief added that Nixl.com offers different levels of alerts to situations, even providing Racine Police Department press releases. A resolution urging the mayor of Kenosha to include funding for police body cameras is going to be considered by the Public Safety and Welfare Committee when it meets at 5 o'clock this evening at the Municipal Building. Alderman Kevin Matheson and Mitchell Peterson say that the $200,000 price tag is, both in their words, well worth it if the city can reduce the likelihood of violence against officers. In a news release, Matheson says it's time that Kenosha, the state's fourth largest city, joins the growing list of cities to equip their police with body cameras. The committee agenda also includes an ordinance change sponsored by Alderman Matheson that would allow for the release of captured feral cats once they've been vaccinated against rabies and sterilized. It would also require the cats to be ear-tipped by having a piece of their left ear removed. City of Burlington's going with four-legged help to shoo away the geese from Echo Park based on the number of citizen complaints about having to avoid stepping in something. Public Works Director Jim Burglis telling the council recently the best and most humane way to chase away the geese and to get them to congregate somewhere else, hire a dog.
These are approved border collies because they're herding dogs, not biting dogs. They won't bite a goose. And they're trained to herd them and push them to the water to get them to fly. And once the geese are in the water, they have remote control boats. They can chase the geese. They want them to fly and just move. But they don't want them to raise their young in the park is the main goal. After 2 years, it changes their habits and they go elsewhere.
Waterfowl Management of Oconomowoc offering up prices for Echo at another park based on two seasons this year, a break in between them. Parks Board wanted to make sure that this would all work, so they supported Echo Park as kind of a trial run. Alderman Ruth DeWinziak suggesting it's really kind of a no-win situation.
I think the concern was that we didn't want to invest all this money and that nothing is happening. The geese are just going back and forth between the two parks anyways, as we go to one park and then go to the other when we're chasing these geese back and forth. So we wanted to kind of see what's going to happen. This is one of those things, we're just going to get armchair quarterbacked all over the place on this. It is what it is, but we got to at least try.
The DNR approves the use of a dog, and the company out of Oconomowoc has done work in Racine. Cost would be a total of $4,500 over 12 weeks just for Echo Park. Plans for an advisory sign at the site of Kenosha's Dream Playground, with final approval on reconstruction work at the Washington Park Velodrome. Those are both on the 5 p.m. meeting agenda for the Board of Parks Commissioners at the Municipal Building. The Dream Playground sign would outline rules and regulations for the all-inclusive park, including the need for adult supervision, types of shoes prohibited on the special rubberized surface, and the hours that the park is open. City staff, after approval for the proposed language and authorization to seek quotes from sign companies. As for the velodrome, the city has an agreement with Roush Construction, which includes the payment of $25,000 once it's determined the project has now been completed to the satisfaction of city staff. Cracks, as you know, developed in the bike racing surface shortly after it was completed last year. Voids were found beneath some of the concrete panels. Racine's Redevelopment Authority and the Common Council's Committee of the Whole will meet at 6 o'clock tonight. Tonight in council chambers on what could be the next step in the process toward an event center being created on the lakefront, which would tie into a privately developed hotel next door. Discussion to focus tonight on a professional services agreement of between $500,000 and $600,000 out of the Intergovernmental Revenue Sharing Fund for Phase 1 study work, according to City Development Director Amy Conley.
You know what you're paying for these consultants to help us through this process, as opposed to paying for it on the back end. And so that's why, you know, these costs are big, but portions of phase two, some if not all of those costs, may be able to be wrapped into the construction financing, which is why we're saying that phase two is really the go, no-go decision.
Steve Friedman with SB Friedman Consultants said the project's complexity warrants the city as an owner hiring its own representative. And he indicated that by June, this design study ought to be a good indicator of true viability and cost, or whether revision might be needed.
We now move into the actual detailed design, schematic design of the project, further cost estimating to make sure that we have a guaranteed maximum price that we can afford, that we can live with. The owner's rep will have opinions about what construction approaches to use. You know, traditionally, most public sector projects are done design, bid, build. You have hard plans, and separate parties then bid on them, and you build them.
If the process were to go as envisioned, construction of a 3,500-seat facility costing upwards of $49 million would begin in a year and open in the fall of 2019. And the Pleasant Prairie Plan Commission will meet at 6 o'clock tonight, going to review some plans for developing a new corporate park. The village announcing intent to purchase about 458 acres of highly desirable land owned by a subsidiary of Abbott Laboratories at the northwest corner of County Highway Q and I-94. It's proposed that the land, along with an adjacent property owned by the village, be developed as a new corporate park to be called Prairie Highlands, focusing on manufacturing, office, and commercial uses. A news release indicates that the village recently approached Abbott about buying the property. Abbott agreed to sell the land to the village for $37.5 million. Administrator Mike Polakoff saying the village has a strong desire to ensure that the last remaining developable land along the interstate is reserved for its highest and best use. Village plans to use funds out of one of the tax incremental districts to buy the property. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News. Exciting.